pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, just that we're assembled together, that we can sing praises to you, and you are great, and your name is to be greatly praised. The name of Jesus, we are told in scriptures, above every other name, that the name of Jesus, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we just want to say that right now, Jesus Christ is Lord. God, I pray that as we look at your word, that our response would be one of yes, one of obedience, that we would overcome the things that are in our lives right now that are hindering us from being all that you've called us to be, and that the life that you have given us, that you would enable us and help us to live. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. We are during this season of our church, the all-in time, going forward, being all-in, being all that God's called us to be. And what we start realizing is that to be all-in and be all that God's called us to be and to go forward, there will be obstacles that we're going to encounter, that you will encounter personally in your walk with Christ. There are going to be issues of obedience that you're going to have to deal with. If you want to follow Christ, you're going to be all that God's called you to be, and you get serious about that call to follow, then you're going to come up against some commands of Scripture that you may not really like. God may call you to change in some ways that you may not want to change. And that is where you'll see how serious you really are about following Jesus. Is when you really don't want to, but you know you need to. When you have to make decisions that you know are the right decisions, but there's something within you that wants to kick and scream against it, but you know you don't need to. You need to go forward. So we're going to talk about loving obedience to the commands of Scripture today. And we're going to talk about an overcoming faith and how you can live the life that God's called you to live, because you're going to have issues of obedience and you're going to have obstacles that you're going to have to overcome if you're serious about following Christ. And you can do so with your faith intact. And you can do so with just a calm, resolute spirit within you that keeps going forward. And you experience the life that God's called you to live. Now, in the epistle of 1 John, John has been addressing some issues that some false teachers have brought into these believers, and he's showing them how sufficient Christ is and how important it is to follow Christ and who he truly is. And we're going to look here in chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 20. We're going to look at obedience to the commands of Scripture and why that's a good thing. And we're going to look at overcoming faith. And we're going to look at the life that God's called us to live. So look, if you will, verse 20 of 1 John 4. Here's what John writes. He says, if someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he does not believe the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So here's John. He's writing these words to these believers who have been a little bit confused. And he's been telling them the necessity of loving their brother, of loving one another. And right here he says, if someone says that they love God and yet they hate their brother, that person's a liar. Because you can't love God and then hate the one who's begotten of God. It's like loving someone and hating their children. So you can't do that. You have to love your brothers. You have to love your fellow believers. Matter of fact, we need to love everybody because every person is being created in the image of God. That's why in James chapter 3, verse 9, James talks about the power of the tongue, and he says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with the same tongue we curse our fellow man who has been made in the image of God. In other words, you respect people because they bear the image of God. Out of respect for God, you respect people because as people, as humanity, we've been created in the image of God, and we bear the image of God, although it's been marred somewhat by the fall. We still bear the image of God. I mean, out of respect for God, we respect other people. But here he's talking about loving a fellow believer. He says, you've got to do that. In verse 21, he says, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This is a commandment. So he's given this commandment about loving your fellow believer. But then he's going to make a broader application. That's kind of what we're going to look at right here. He says, and for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So here we have laid out, John says, this is the love of God. You want to love God? You know, Jesus in the gospel said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says, if you want to love God, keep his commandments. You obey God because you love him. Because you love God, you obey him. Loving obedience to the commands of Scripture. That is a key. If you're going to go forward, you need to have resolve within your heart, within your spirit, that you will lovingly obey the commands of Scripture. What God says in his word, you're going to say, okay, that's what I'll do. And you'll do it because you love him. Now, sometimes and you'll hear people say this, I don't want to go to church because I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. You know, I don't want to read the Bible because I don't want the Bible to tell me what to do. You know, you want to do your own stuff. Read Proverbs chapter 1 and you'll see if you go your own way, you'll eventually eat the fruit of your own labors, and that's not good. And it's at that time when you cry out for God, God help me, and you've mocked God and you've cried, you know, you've mocked wisdom, and all of a sudden you want God to intervene. So you don't want to do things your own way. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. First John writes and says, the commandments of God, they are not burdensome. That means they're not heavy. They're not difficult. They bring freedom. They bring life. They bring liberty. Let me tell you something. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now, when you would take the yoke upon you of someone else, that meant that you were willing to be under their tutelage. You're willing to be their disciple, their follower. He says, you do what I say, you follow me, you'll find that my yoke, my burden is light, and you're going to find rest for your souls. You want some rest for your souls? Follow the teachings of Christ. You'll get rest for your souls. Lovingly obeying the commands of Scripture is very, very important if you're going to follow Christ. You don't separate Scripture from Christ. And there's some people out there today, they want to separate Scripture from Christ. I love Jesus, but I hate the Bible. Sorry, man. Scripture tells us about Christ, and the ways of Christ are laid out in Scripture. And you're just separating something that can't be separated. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls Jesus the Word of God. So what you need to do, if you really are serious about following Christ, you lovingly obey the commands of Scripture. Let me tell you what does not give you liberty. Okay? You don't want to follow Scripture, because you do what Christ wants you to do, follow him, live life the way he says, There's freedom. There's liberty. There's what you want in life. But you know, I don't believe that. Okay, well, let me ask you this. How much freedom is there for somebody living in adultery? Fornication. How much liberty is there for someone who's a liar? Somebody that's a liar, man, they go to sleep at night and think, man, what did I lie about? Who did I lie about? Who do I need to get that straightened out with? And I wonder if they're going to find out about it. There's not liberty in being a liar. What about, is there liberty in being a thief? You stealing something? Taking something that's not yours? How much freedom do you have? How much liberty is there? See, you got to kind of look at it from that perspective. You don't want to do what Scripture says. You want to, you know, mock the things of God. Say, well, you know, I don't want God to tell me what to do. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go to church. I don't want anybody to say anything about what I'm doing. You want true freedom. True freedom comes from following Christ. See, God made us. And what God says works best. You want to follow Christ and say, hey, I want to be all in. I want us to go forward. But just know this. You're going to follow Christ till you hit that issue of obedience in your life. And it may be something you struggle with for 5, 10, 15 years. And it's that same area. I know I'm disobedient in this area, but by George, I'm just going to stay at it. I'm not going to change. I don't want to do what Scripture says. I don't want to follow Christ in this area. Well, then you're going to stop. And then you're going to go backwards. And then you're going to get to a place where you're like, I don't want to be this bad. And then you'll start back, yeah, I want to follow Christ. I want to follow Christ. And you get back to that same issue, that issue of obedience. And then you're going to stop. You want to lovingly obey. You know, if this is what Scripture says, I know there's a reason. I know I can trust God. If Jesus would die on the cross for my sins, if he's got a place prepared for me for all of eternity in heaven, then I can trust him with whatever issue of obedience I have right in my life right now, and I can do what he wants me to do. Just do it. Be honest. It's good. I mean, there's liberty. There's freedom with honesty. There's freedom of being a sexually moral person. There's freedom there. A whole bunch of freedom. There's freedom by only taking what's yours and no one else's. There's freedom there. See, just some freedom. So if there's an issue of obedience in your life, maybe it's an issue of forgiveness. Maybe you have chosen, you know, I know what the Bible says about forgiving people, but no. I won't forgive. Well, how's that bitterness working out for you? How's that bitterness of your soul working out? No, I'd rather hang on to this bitterness and a little bit of hatred sprinkled in there than issue forgiveness like the Bible says I need to. Remember, when you forgive somebody, you release them of their debt. You do. You don't say what they did is good or what they did was right. You say, I choose to release them because I've been released of my debt. If you need to go to the parable where the man was forgiven of so much, and then he turned around and found somebody who owed him just a little bit, and he put him in prison, and the master said, you don't do that. You've been forgiven of so much. How come you can't forgive that person of what they did if you've been forgiven? See, that's the concept in Scripture. That's following Christ. I forgive because of how he's forgiven me. I'll forgive as I've been forgiven. That's letting that flow go through your life. So some issue of obedience in your life, lovingly obey the commands of Scripture. They're not burdensome. Not doing it is burdensome. That means it's heavy. It's heavy. You want to deliberately choose not to obey Scripture. It's heavy. You're going to have a heaviness. There's going to be a burden that's going to be on you. And it's going to be heavy. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You made that decision. You want to go for it? Issue obedience. You need to handle it. Now look, he also talks about overcoming. Look, if you will, in verse 4 of chapter 5. He says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He says, we can be overcomers. We can have overcoming faith. Now, the root word for victory and overcoming is the same root word as Nike. Of course, we get the tennis shoe from that. Nike, it's a Greek word, means victory, overcomer, victory. You can be an overcomer. You can have overcoming faith. You can face the obstacles, and implied with overcoming means there's something you got to overcome, which means there's something in your way, which means there's some obstacle, some barrier, something that's got to be removed, something that's got to be jumped over, something's got to happen to something in your life. You can overcome that by your faith. And in this next several verses, he talks about Christ being attested by the water and by the blood. Many believe that that's talking about the water, the baptism of Christ, when the voice from heaven in Matthew 3:17 said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." At his death, when there was the earthquake and the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, at his blood, at his death. That Jesus Christ is attested by history, attested by heaven, by the Spirit, the internal witness of the Holy Spirit within you that you received at salvation. Bears witness, yeah, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he came and died on the cross for my sins. I've received the Holy Spirit of God. There's something. There's an added something within me that wasn't with me before I accepted Christ. It's in me now. Something's different. Yeah, it's your faith. And by virtue of your faith, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. And that faith that you have, you can overcome the obstacles in your life, the barriers. But you have to do it through your faith. See, here's what happens to some of us sometimes. We're going along and, oh, I want to love the Lord, I want to serve the Lord, I want to be all that God calls me to be. And all of a sudden we hit a barrier in life, and instead of approaching that barrier with overcoming faith, we approach it with, God has abandoned me. God has abandoned me. Why has God let this happen? God has left me high and dry. God does not care about me anymore. God has forsaken me. The exact opposite of overcoming faith is thinking, I've been abandoned, and we have this fear out of abandonment instead of overcoming faith. Abandoned fear. I mean, God's abandoned me. I've got this fear, and I'm facing this obstacle, and I don't know where God is. God's left me. God's forsaken me, and I'm scared to death. Now, I got to take matters into my own hands. That's not overcoming faith. Overcoming faith says, you know what? God knew this was going to happen. God's in control. And I have a promise in Scripture that he'll make all things work together for good, for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. You know what? God must be going to use this obstacle as I overcome through my faith in Christ to make me more like Jesus. And I'm going to overcome it. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. I'll overcome through faith. Now, let me ask you this. Do you want to bless those that are closest to you? You want to bless your children, your grandchildren. You want to bless your spouse. You want to bless others in your life. Let them see that overcoming faith. Let them see you have that overcoming faith. Doesn't mean you don't get knocked down. Doesn't mean you don't, you know, have to get back up. It means you get back up. It means you approach things with your faith intact. I don't understand everything. And I know eventually, guess what? Something, unless the Lord comes back, something will take me out of this life. It will. I mean, something will take me out of this life unless the Lord comes back. It may be this year. It may be 30 years, maybe 40 years. But you got to understand, you're not invincible in this life. You will eventually die. So if overcoming faith means that I never die, then, you know, I will die in this life, but I have eternal life. We'll talk about that in a second. But overcoming faith, you approach those obstacles, those barriers in your life with your faith intact. I know God loves me. I know he cares for me. I know he knows what's going on here. I tell you what, I'm going to do what he tells me to do, and I'm going to leave the results up to him. I'm going to have an abandonment toward him. I'll do what he tells me to do, and I'll leave the results to him. And I'll exude the character of Christ as I'm going through this. I've got the overcoming faith. If you're a believer, you've got overcoming faith. We all do. Are you going to access it? Now, maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know, Marty, I understand that feeling of abandonment. And you know what you can also do? You can build a case against God in your own mind. Here is why I can't trust God. Yeah, you can keep those reasons till you die. And you can miss out on overcoming faith. But here's the truth. You can trust God. You can trust God. You don't know how this ends. You don't know how it ends, but he does. And you don't know the good that he's going to bring from stuff, but he does. And he will. So if you build a case as to why you can't trust God with some barrier or obstacle in your life and why you have to do things in a non-biblical way, why you have to do things in a way that dishonors God, you got to throw that away if you want to live with overcoming faith. Because you're going to have obstacles in your path that you're going to have to handle God's way, and you're going to have to trust him. He says, we overcome through our faith. Overcoming faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. That's why Noah built the boat. That's why Abraham left the land of Ur, the Chaldeans. That's why David went into the valley to fight the giant. Overcoming faith. The obstacle, man. Yeah, they had obstacles. Worldwide flood. 75-year-old man told he's going to have a baby with a 65-year-old woman. And it wouldn't happen for 25 more years. Teenage boy going into a valley taking on a 9-foot giant. But, hey, they trusted God. And they overcame. You got to have overcoming faith. And you do have it. So if you're an obstacle in your life, and maybe your first response is to attack God or to blame God or build a case why you can't do things God's way, why you can't trust God, you got to stop. If you want to have overcoming faith, if you want that faith to be employed as you go and attack that obstacle. But you can do it. We can do it through our faith in Christ. We can be overcomers. Now look what he says in verse 11. He says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. In other words, you have life. If you have the Son, you have life. You have the life. Right now, you have the life. Right now. We have, if you're a believer, you've accepted Christ, you received God's Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion. You've got something inside of you that you did not have before. You've got the ability, supernaturally, to have overcoming faith, to have loving obedience to the commands of Scripture. You have a life within you now, which is the life that you want. And you can have it right now. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It's all about life. It's about now. The life you want, you can have it right now. You can have overcoming faith. You can have loving obedience to the commands of Scripture. You can do that because you're going to need that. Because you're going to face challenges and obstacles in your life as you seek to live for Christ. You're going to have issues of obedience where you're going to have to choose to do the right thing. And you may say, Marty, have you ever had to choose to do the right thing and you didn't want to do the right thing, but you had to do the right thing because it was the right thing? You better believe it. You better believe it. But it's the right thing to do. So if you think, you know, I've got to wait to have an emotional feeling in order to say, all right, I'll do the right thing, and doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes you just do the right thing because it's the right thing. And you do it. You know what, God? I really don't want to do this, but I know it's the right thing. And I love you, God. And I want to honor you more than I want to honor anybody else in this life. And I'll do it. Sometimes you have to make that type of decision. Just flat out make that type of decision. And you honor God. You face those obstacles, those barriers come in your life. You say, you know what? God knew this was going to happen. It's a challenge. But here's what Jesus said in John 16:33. He says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Guess what? I'm attached to him. He's overcome the world through Christ. I can overcome because of what he's done. He's already died for my sins on the cross. He's already paid my sin debt. The rest of life is gravy. So, Holy Spirit within me. Commitment to obeying the commands of Scripture and leaving the results up to God. All of a sudden, the challenges, the obstacles, yeah, it may take time sometimes. Sometimes you have victory quickly. Sometimes you just have to keep building the wall, okay? Or whatever they say. Keep chopping. Sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. But you have to keep at it, and you don't stop. You keep at it, you keep at it, you keep at it. You're on the winning team, and you can do it. So I want to ask you this morning, is there an area of obedience in your life? Is there something you need to take care of? Now, not taking care of it, you are making a choice. You are making a choice. And what you have to get in your mind is say, you know what? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your souls. So I'm going to do what he says. I want rest for my soul. I want rest for my soul. And you have to do it. And you do it. Proverbs 15 talks about the way of the unfaithful is hard. You want life to get harder? Just keep doing it your way. So make that decision. Area of obedience. Whatever it may be. Maybe there's an obstacle in your life. It's not a matter of obedience. It's just something that's just been plopped right in front of you. And it's like, man, I don't know how we're going to get over that. You have overcoming faith. You know, I don't know, you know, that mountain, Jesus talked about having faith, talking to a mountain, be cast into the sea. Now, I want to have that kind of faith. I want to have overcoming faith. And if he wants to take that mountain and he wants to cast it in the sea, he can do that anytime he wants to. I believe he can. But if he wants me to take a wheelbarrow and get busy with him and take it out one load at a time, I'll do whatever I have to. But it'll be overcoming faith. And you don't stop. You don't quit. See, one of the biggest blessings you may ever impart to those closest to you is being an overcomer. Being an overcomer. Now, I want to ask you some more. Are you experiencing that overcoming faith? Are you lovingly obeying what Scripture says? Have you built a case against God and why you cannot trust Him? I know people do that. You build a case against God. I know what the Bible says, but translation, I can't do things God's way. I can't trust Him. I can't trust Him. Things didn't turn out the way I wanted to one time when I did, and I can't trust Him. Yes, you can. You trust Him. You don't know what all is going to happen. You don't know what He's done. You don't know everything that's happened. You have no idea what's happened. There's stuff going on you don't have any idea about. There's stuff happening in people's life you don't even know. So you can't make an assessment of what God has done or what God's doing as though you have perfect knowledge, because you do not possess perfect knowledge. Your response, I'll do what God says and I'll trust Him. I know He's going to do it. I know He'll work out good. I know He's going to bring good from all this. I know He will. His Word says He will. He'll work it all out for good. And there's going to be a conforming to the image of Christ. So I can never approach stuff that I've done for the Lord or how I've trusted God as though I have complete knowledge, because I do not. I'm very limited. I barely know what goes on with what I see. So you got to trust Him. Why don't we just bow our heads and close our eyes? And I just want to ask you if maybe there's an issue of obedience in your life right now. Maybe you have built that case against God as to why you cannot do what God wants you to do. And maybe you just need to confess and say, God, you know, I built that case against you. God, this has just nailed me. Why don't you say, God, forgive me? The Scripture says there is no counsel or understanding against God. So you need to say, Lord, you're God and I'm not, and I can't build a case against you. It's a faulty case. So why don't you right now, with whatever you build against God, why don't you say, you know what, God, I'll choose to trust you. I'll do the right thing and I'll leave the results up to you. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Jesus, I know if you've died on the cross for me, I know you love me and you care for me. And you say you'll never leave me nor forsake me, so I can trust you. So whatever that issue of obedience is in your life, just pray and say, God, I trust you. I trust you. Now you get rid of that case against God. You just throw it off a cliff, bury it in a hole, do whatever you need to. Maybe there's a barrier in your life. Maybe there's an obstacle. You say, Lord, I need that faith that says to that mountain, be cast into the sea. Say, Lord, I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to turn tail and run. I don't want to live in fear as though you've forsaken me, because you haven't. But there is a mountain. And if you want me to take a wheelbarrow, and part of your plan is for me to just take a shovel and in the name of Jesus just start digging and hauling that stuff off, then I'll do it. But Lord, if you want to take it away like only you can just in a second, you can do that as well. I want to work with you, God. Overcoming faith. Lord, I want to live that life that you've called me to live. You've already given me the life. A life that's more abundant. A life where there is rest for my soul. Some of you got a weary soul. Some of you here, your soul is weary. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He shall sustain you. It's what Scripture says. Now, Lord, you know the ones here that have declared their allegiance to you, that they have said, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this area of obedience. You know the ones who have obstacles where they've now said, Lord, I'm going to have overcoming faith. And I'm going to work with you. Lord, I pray your blessings upon their lives. I pray for your peace upon their lives. And Lord, that we would live that life that you purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. In the name of Jesus. Amen.